The title is Can Anyone Become a Gadol? Lies, Limitations, and Modern Day Yeshivas. I want to really address two questions over the next little bit. Question number one is one which I find to be a fascinating one in the world of Machshava. I find to be an even more fascinating one in the more practical world. And that is, where is my potential from a source-based perspective? Who does and who doesn't have the capacity to become a Gadol b'Yisrael, to be really fantastic, really great, the top tier in learning? Who does and who doesn't have that potential? Does everyone have it? Do some people have it? Are some destined for greatness? Others are destined for mediocrity? Is that how life is set up and life is structured? How exactly does it work? Meaning the same way that it was clear from my birth I was never going to play power forward in the NBA. It's just a foot and 4 inches too short. We also know that, is it possible similar phenomena exist in the world of learning? I am what I am, and it's not getting that much better. Is that where it's at, or do I have the capacity to overcome a whole lot more? Do I have the ability to really be great? Do I have the ability to be a, quote-unquote, a gadol? Where is that line? What do I have the capacity to accomplish? Question number one. Question number two is one that is maybe a little bit less relevant for us now, but I think is a fascinating one that for sure has serious implications. And that is, when you're structuring an institution, when you're building a yeshiva, what's the goal of the yeshiva? Is the goal of the yeshiva to produce gedolim? Is that the goal? Is the goal to find maybe that those one or two who really have the potential to reach a certain very high madrega, and to try, and everything is really for those couple guys. The rest are all there for whatever reason, but the real goal of the institution is to produce and to expect and to generate serious excellence and serious greatness. Alternatively, maybe it's not the goal at all. Maybe our goal is a goal for the masses. We want to produce a place. We want yeshivas to be places where everyone can succeed and everyone can feel good about themselves, and people can, wherever we get to is great, but we're not trying to structure it for the elite, we're trying to structure it for the masses. Those are the two questions we're talking about. Number one, who has the capacity, who has the potential to be a gadol? Number two, how much does that dictate exactly how we structure things? Source number one. I'll try and read inside more of the English, since it's been a little bit of a lot of Hebrew probably 10 minutes ago or so, so we'll try and go in that direction. But the Rambam here writes Nechos Tshuva, a very famous Rambam. Ein hadavar kein ela kol adam roi lo liyo sadek kemo sharabeinu or rasha ki ravam. The Rambam writes Nechos Tshuva, a very well-known marker. The Rambam maintains that every person has the capacity to be a tzaddik on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Every person has the ability, should they choose, to be righteous in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu is righteous. I can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu is a tzaddik. Anyone not get
source sheets?
Everyone has the capacity to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Rambam. There's a book put out, a sefer put out, 5, 7, 10 years ago, called She'ifos. The purpose of the sefer, if anyone's seen it, there's some great stories in it. Let's read the line. Let's see something that he added here, and it's a little bit interesting. We can each be a tzaddik k'mo Moshe Rabbeinu. Where's that coming from? What's that a reference to? Ram Halashuva. We learned one source together, so that was an easy question. V'ge'on k'chol ge'onei hadoros. What does that mean? We can all be a masterful Talmud Chacham, like the great Talmidei Chachamim of past generations. Did Rambam say that or not say that? That's a little bit of an addition, right? Rambam spoke of being a tzaddik. I hear I can be a tzaddik. I understand that I have free choice, how great I'm going to be, how much of a, where my level is, where the bar is as far as my righteousness. It is a little bit of an additional, and I can also be a major Talmud Chacham? Really? Aren't there certain limitations I may have? What are possible limitations I may have? Why may the bar be set lower for me? Intelligence is one. Intelligence is one. Maybe I'm not that bright. What about other possible? possible qualification? What else could limit me? That's it? Being a giant and learning is all about intelligence?
Your yeshiva,
yeah.
Environment?
Great. Certain kinds of environment breed a certain amount of success. Yeah. Determination. Now, is determination something which I choose or something which I'm born with? Is that my destined to be more determined and more ambitious and in a place where I want to succeed more? Or is that something which just like it is what it is? And it's all up to me. I can choose. How does it work? Okay. Something I work on. Okay. According to at least the book Sheifos, and this is a dominant approach. You will hear this all the time in Musar Shmuzin over the next whatever years of life that you are hearing Musar Shmuzin, which is the we all have the capacity to be again a Gaon Kechol Gaoni Hadoros. So it says in the Sefer. It happens to be this, Asher Friedman points out, he's a Rebbe in Leifa Torah. Wrote an article a bunch of years ago. It's really it's a nice one if you like reading. He quotes that a student at our Steinitz High School, Mekor Chaim, explained to me, why do we do everything so intensely here? Rav Zinger, Rosh Hashiva, told us that each and every one of us has the potential to be a Gadol. How could we waste that potential? It's a good tool also. It's a little bit of a good, right? If you believe that you have the capacity for greatness, so then I want to meet that level. If someone would walk in and tell you, you could really one day be a great, you know, Shai Mikra, you could, maybe. The bar is set low, so you're not, we're going to respond accordingly. If the bar is set higher, if the bar is set in a very high place, I believe that one day I have the capacity to achieve greatness that's going to impact the manner in which I live my life, the manner in which I try and succeed. But again, Rabbi Friedman here is not quoting me a Mar Makom, and the Sefer Sheifos added a couple words into a Rambam to prove his point. My question is a little bit more, is this true? Can I accomplish that? What do Chazal say? What do the Gedolei HaRishonim VeAchronim maintain on this topic? There is a Gemara in Maseches Chulin, Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Mikan l'talmud shlo ra'a siman yafe b'mishnaso heishanim shuv eino roa. Says the Gemara in Chulin, five years, you try really hard in learning. If it's not working, there's no siman yafe, it ain't gonna happen. Sometimes you gotta know when to throw in the towel. A friend of mine emailed me an email recently, like an email chain of guys around my age, that one of them decided to email some of his friends as a joke. It was, how do we define a successful Shalatim alum? Now, how did you think that Rav Waxman would describe a successful Shalatim alum? And they were all writing like joke answers. So one of the guys who's my age came here, Shana Aleph, and he left after 11 days. So he wrote, I assume just making it for 11 days like would not qualify as a successful whatever. So Chazal here described at least 5 years. 5 years. 5 years. That's like a Hezder program. No? That's what we're doing? At the end of the 5 years, you decide. You got it or don't? Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. Now, what we don't know, we have a couple things we don't know. We don't know how we define Siman Yafa. How do I know if I'm there or not there? How do I discover that? How do I find that out? What's the criteria I use? I guess we'll interpret that as a rhetorical question. What? I don't know. But if you look in the Siddur Beis Yaakov, Yaakov Emden, one of the great Achronim, Yaakov Emden seems to take a little bit of a strong take on things here. Rabim Ata Am Ha'aretz. There are a lot of people, how do we define Am Ha'aretz? Unlearned. How do Chazal define Am Ha'aretz? I don't know. Check it out. Gemara Sota, Chaf Beis. Interesting discussion. Shalolamdu osha ein tivam misugol la'asok betorah bishlemus. There are people who are not tivam misugol la'asok betorah bishlemus. People whose nature is not, I'm not built for it. I'm not built for learning Torah bishlemus. V'nivru, this is an intense line, so hope it's okay. La'aso b'masa u'matan, they're created in order to work. Kedei she'yisbeku ma'im u'mazo, le'ovdei Hashem, ha'oskim, b'torah, tamid. They're here to like, they can't do it in learning, they're created for a different purpose. That purpose is to keep things going in the world, make sure there's food, people have what to eat, especially those who are learning. Okay. That then seems to maintain that there are limits, no? Is that what he's maintaining? There are limits on what I can do? I have my teva is mesugal. I'm destined for what? I'm destined for an inability lasok b'torah b'shleimus. I can't really do it, so says Yaakov Emden. Some point to a fascinating medrash in Koheles Rabbah. The medrash says, it's an interesting one, Adam echad me'alef matasi. I found one in a thousand. Benoit of olam, how does life work in institutions? How does yeshiva sometimes work? Again, a little bit of a depressing thought. We'll talk about maybe what it means in a second. Elef b'nei Adam, nifnasam le'mikra, yotzeh mem me'el le'mishnah. 1,000 people come in to learn Mikra, to learn Tanakh, and about 100 of them are ready to learn Mishnah. Yotzeh asara le'talmud, there's maybe 10 that are ready to engage in serious learning of Gemara. Yotzeh mehem echad le'hora. One of the 1,000 is in a position for hora. He's in a place where he can paskin. He's achieved a certain amount of success. The odds described by the Medrash here are it's not that great. Seems like if we're looking at it from the perspective of the Gemara and Chulin, the people that tried for 5 years, at the end of the day, maybe it's not going to work. It seems like if we're looking in the Medrash of Koheles Rabbah, 1 in 1,000 maybe are going to make it. 1 in 1,000 maybe are going to make it. The question to think about, though, is the following. And here's where it gets a little bit more interesting. Why do 1 in 1,000 make it? Question number one. Are they predestined? The Medrash didn't tell me. Yaakov Emden maintains that there are people who ain't tipa mesugo lasuk b'torah b'shleimus. To what extent do I have the capacity to change my nature, to change that? I'm born a little bit lazy. To what extent do I have the capacity to alter that, to change that? How do I change it if I want to? If I maintain I have the ability to really achieve a certain high level, if I take the shkifos in mind, if I take some of these ideas to heart, so how do I change it? So you find an interesting formulation. Over the summer I bought a small kuntres put out called Derech HaTorah. These like short questions and answers of Chaim Kanievsky. How many of you have ever seen them? It's like long questions, he responds with like a one word answer. It's fascinating stuff, I guess. But the guy who put it out, really, it seems to me, what he was really trying to do was he wanted to publish a book, but he knew that if he put it out, so then like Lav Dafka, anyone was going to read it. So he writes like a long question, Chaim Kanievsky writes like a one word answer, and he writes like a long like response to the answer, like what he really thinks about the topic. But I guess it's like piggybacking under Chaim Kanievsky, so people like me walk through the store and it's like, okay, you know what, it was like 11 shekel, like I'll buy it. So it worked. I'm a sucker, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah. I was going to say a similar thing. Someone told me, I don't know if it's true, but someone told me a similar thing once about the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch is a sefer on the Sefer HaChinuch. Minchas Chinuch is a well-known sefer. So if you look at Minchas Chinuch, a lot of time he's talking, it's on the Rambam, a lot of what he's saying. So someone told me a long time ago, I don't know if this is at all true, but it is fascinating nonetheless. Where's Felder? Where? You know what told it to me? Right, Moshe Walter. Moshe Walter, he's in your school now. I met him when I was in your school. Great. So he told me a long time ago, I think, that basically the Minchas Chinuch wanted to stay from the Rambam. The problem was there were a lot of Sfarim on the Rambam, so like no one's gonna, you know, buy it. So there wasn't one on the Sefer HaChinuch. So he's put it out in the Sefer HaChinuch, and suddenly, like, you know, became very popular. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in the middle of a long discussion that this guy has, they ask a question to. So can anyone really do it? Is it like really possible? Can I really achieve that level of greatness? Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote the following, and I find it to be a fascinating answer. Kol elu imhay misashkim me'ot. Anyone who works really hard, we can change our nature a little bit, so he maintains. We have the ability to alter our sort of like predestined path. I have the capacity to change a little bit. And he adds an additional factor. Umispalim b'chol kocham, hayu matzlichem. The process towards reaching that higher level says, it's not just one of working really hard, it's also one of of mispalim b'chol kocham. Tefila, I daven for it. Ata chonel adam das. So it's part of my tefila. It's part of my tefila. It's one of the things I think about. Part of my tefila. But what emerges here, and many points to the Tanya Eliyahu, a beautiful medrash in Parsha Yidal. It's a good story there. You can look it up. But it's pretty clear, at least in many days in Chazal, the capacity was certainly there to change a person's nature a little bit, to raise the bar very high. How I'm born need not impact in any way what level I can reach. The outside circumstances I have need not impact. Who greater than Rabbi Akiva to remind us a little bit about that, being at, you know, not that young and hadn't really started learning at all. Something to think about. The outside circumstances need not really impact it. I have the capacity, in a certain sense, to alter my teva. If we had more time, we'd speak about trying to prove this in Ramakrishna Mishnayis, Ramakrishna Shemana Prakim, and the Meirim Sech Shabbos, but we're going to leave it as is. Akan first chelak. Done. We saw so far the following, just chazam, we saw very briefly before we move on. Number one, we saw the Hagdama, the Rambam says any person can be Italic like Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one. Then we saw, we have certain formulations about people having the capacity, every single person, the capacity to be a Gadol. I was joking before, I was leaving, so my wife asked me what I was speaking about, so I told her, so my 5-year-old son asked me what a Gadol is. So I said, like a really great rabbi. So I said to him, Chaim, do you think that you could be like a really great rabbi, but try really hard? So he's like, yeah. So I said, you think like the guys from Abba Shir could? So he's like, maybe some of them. Next, the following. How to structure a yeshiva. Now how does it work? Here we get a fascinating letter. An unbelievable letter written by Rav Dessler Mashkiach Hapanovich, author of Michtav Melio. This is a letter that ended up being published in the third volume of Michtav Melio, which is taken from the Beis Medrash. It was originally published in an unbelievable Torah journal called Hama'ayan. Hamayan is one of the more chashuv Torah journals. About 6 or 7 years ago, it started to get published by Yeshivat Shalavim. They publish Hamayan now. Got to know a little bit about the, I guess, place in which we learn. So Rav Dessler was first published there. Rav Dessler wrote a letter, and it was a letter that was a critique of how a certain worldview was, how a certain world was set up in Europe. So we had the Lita, Eastern Europe. In Eastern Europe, you're dealing with most of the yeshivas that we're familiar with. You're dealing with the Volozhins and the Mirs and the Panovich. We're dealing with Eastern Europe. In Frankfurt, in Germany, that's Western Europe. There was a major difference in how the yeshivas were set up. Germany, Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch was a believer in Torah der Eretz. In the institutions by Rav Hirsch, institutions that were with Rav Hirsch, they were learning secular studies in yeshiva. In Eastern Europe, they were dafka not learning any form of secular studies. Yeshiva was just pure learning. There wasn't other stuff going on. That's the difference. Rav Dessler's writing his assessment of the success of each one of these systems, and what he says is fascinating. Frankfurt. Second, source number 9 in the second paragraph. Frankfurt, hitiras hamada, v'echnisas alima university yulchah halachatila shebechina. They thought learning secular studies was a lefatchila. Hamechir sheshomu ba'adzeh, the price they paid for this. Hayas nes ma'atu misbar gedoli ha'torah ben chanichayim. Again, whoa. Fun stuff. The price was that they produced almost no gedolim, because they were learning secular studies. Okay. Amnam hirvichu bazeh, but there was a mila to this, says Rav Dessler. As we know, I have not taken sides on this. Asher misbar amikul kolam etzel mekatam od. No, this is how it worked. They didn't produce that many gedolim, but if you're familiar with the phrase, off the derech, people were not really going off the derech. People stayed frum and solid and good, but because there was an outlet for people. They weren't forced to learn all day. They had a range of things they could do. It was working for the masses. Says Rav Dessler, it was not producing a certain high, it was not producing a top tier. The real gedolma wasn't getting. The flip is what he calls, the next page, Aval Shitas HaYeshivos. If you want to see a little bit of a bias, the fact he calls one of them Shitas Frankfurt, and one of them Shitas HaYeshivos is already like revealing a certain leaning in one direction. Just saying, to note that. In other yeshivas, you know what the goal was? I want to produce gedolim. That's all we want to do. That is our singular goal. And that's why they opt to secular studies, which is fascinating, by the way, and it's not so simple as far as if we start on the topic. Okay? Because they didn't understand how you could just gedolim if they were also learning secular studies. But he says, the flip side, amnam zeu hamechir. You know what the price was of this system? It's nice and it's cute and you'll produce gedolim and it's really great, but there's a problem. The problem is, people went off to Dera. Because it was great for the top. And it was great for the elite. But it wasn't working for everyone. So you have two systems, says Rav Dessler. Shitas Frankfurt, it's good for the masses, but not producing gedolim. What he calls Shitas HaYeshivas, to produce gedolim, but to be bad for the masses. Which do we choose? Which do we choose? Yeah? Why the masses? Who cares about them? Yeah, but we'll get some gedolim, no? Because, like, who's going to be taking the pictures of the gedolim if everyone's off the derech? You know? Like, it's a problem. You know? No, I'm okay, no, because masses are numbers.
Right?
Most of the population.
Why masses are not? Most of the population. They have a concept called rove in halacha, but we don't necessarily need it even. Yeah. Do you have Chabad leanings or no? No, I mean that seriously.
I did spend myself with Chabad leanings, but I'm not Chabad.
Okay, great. I have leanings. It's not. Promise you, this is not a. You're in the wrong place if you think I'm critiquing that at all. That's fascinating. Meaning net Torah mitzvot. Don't we care most about net mitzvot, net averos? Netto. That's the Hebrew phrase. I'm good. 1 year min al yar. Okay. Would anyone choose question? Would anyone choose the Shitas HaYeshivas? No one? Would anyone choose this? Don't want to raise their hand and say so? Sorry. Could you be one of those things? Yeah, please.
Only people who choose Shitas HaYeshivas are those who know that they could be at the top.
Okay. Is that so? Rav Dessler Taka, who was at the top, Rav Dessler argues that's the better choice.
Even literature.
Hold on. No, that's a better choice. Now, let's say this. None of the schools I went to, I think from beginning to end of my chinuch system, chose the Rav Dessler choice. Rav Dessler chose Shitas HaYeshivas will produce the gedolim. There'll be people will like taka. Some people will not do that well. That's life. Our major primary goal, Hamatara Hayechida leGadol Gedolei Torah. Done. That's Rav Dessler's piece. That is. Let me say one thing. I don't put that on there because I agree with it. I put that on there because that is thought-provoking. It is hopefully a little bit thought-provoking. It's thought-provoking. Hopefully it's also something which we can, like, at least, if you want to play, like, the game of understanding the other side, let's think about where Dessler's from. Let's think about why he would want to say that. But we'll end there. Two volumes later of the journal, Hama'ayan. Two volumes later, we have an anonymous letter. Michtav Be'inyan Shitas Frankfurt. This came out, where are we at now? Anyone following Hamayan? I think the 50th journal this past year, but I'm talking to myself right now. Really, to myself. 50 minus 6, put this at, someone? 44, thank you. That did not have to be me alone. I get very nervous doing math out loud in public. The last math teacher I had, Mr. Playoff, was 11th grade. It was great, but yeah. Tell your father I would have gotten the 44 if I was on the spot. Okay, I got my calculator. Okay, an anonymous letter. We don't know who wrote it. But Inyan Shitas Frankfurt, what does it say on the top of the journal? On the top of the journal, it says written from an anonymous rav of a big community in New York. Anyone know who wrote it? We do know who wrote it. It was published anonymously, but we now know who wrote it. What? I know. Rav Shimon Schwab was the any Yekis in the room? So Schwab was the that I know. Rav Schwab was the head of the Breuer's community. Rav Schwab wrote the letter anonymously. Nothing is as good as anonymous stuff, I guess. You know. I mean, a lot of things are better, but I guess good stuff anyway. Says Rav Schwab, he writes a strong critique of Rav Dessler, but not for the reason that we may have thought. The reason why he critiques Rav Dessler is not because he says, you know what, if I had to choose masses or gedolim, I'd choose masses. That's not his argument. His argument's very different. His argument on an assessment of the facts. It's just not true. It would be nice if the world were set up like that, we could break it down easily and have a discussion. But he said, is that really the choice I have to make? Really? Rav Dessler, are you sure the Jews in Frankfurt were unable to produce gedolim? I believe you're right, there were 5 million Jews, something like that, in Eastern Europe, most of whom from learning in yeshiva. There were many, many fewer, and many, many fewer Orthodox learning in Germany. Are you sure the percentages weren't the same? That just like they were producing one gedolim for every 1 million, that we weren't producing one for every 1 million? Is that really true? On Hashkafic grounds, he argues also, Hayotanami calls that the Lekka Lemashma me Shitas Frankfurt, the Swab, who's from, Yekis are from Germany. It's not true. You're not going to lose out if you're born with the talent. You're not going to lose out by learning the secular studies. It's not going to detract from anything. Adirabba, the opposite is true. To the extent to which I develop and I grow and I broaden myself with other forms of knowledge, corresponding to this, a person's mind can be expanded, can be broadened. A person can be so much greater in learning, it can help, it can enhance. Just look at the Rishonim, Rambam's a fantastic example. Im kavanasu hi l'shem shemayim be'emes. And did you want to know the truth? Me'idach gisa misha ein lo kishron haseichel. A person's not that bright, he says. They can just learn Torah all day long, and maybe it's not going to... But Rav Schwab argues strongly, and I think in a powerful way, with the model of Rav Dessler, it's just not true. It's just not true. The model, one system over another system, is not coming at the expense of a person's capacity to reach greatness. It really isn't. A broadening of the mind. I'm wiser. I know more chachma. I have more of what to work with. It's not going to limit me. The bar can be really high. I can really hit a certain level. Skip 11 and 12, even though verse 12 is fascinating. Just to know. I gave a shiur to the Israelis in June. I almost put this on, but then I didn't. Now it's on, but I'm not quoting it. And then maybe next time we'll quote it.
Favorite.
It's great. Okay. Let me just try and add something, and we'll end with one or two with a maaser too. Rabbi Dr. Aaron Hirsch Fried. Dr. Fried. You know how many sisters that went to Stern that took him? Dr. Fried? Really? That's awesome. Dr. Fried is a chassidish guy. Who teaches psychology at Stern. I met him once. He was the, when my wife was getting her doctorate, the way it works is you have there were three people that like sign off on, it's like a Beis Din. You write your dissertation, which is like a something 100 page, like whatever on a topic, and three people read it and ask you questions, and like if you do okay, you get your doctorate. If you fail, the last 5 years of your life were an utter waste, and that's it. So there were three people that were on her committee. One is Gabi Novakir, his mother. One was Dr. Fried. So Dr. Fried is a fascinating person. He quotes interesting mice from Dr. Kamenetsky here. Yaakov said to us, again, another thought-provoking, again, we're trying to generate some thought. There are cities in which there is a day school, and in addition to the day school, there is a cheder, a primer school. If I would be asked where my grandchildren should be sent to, I'm not asked, but if I were asked, I would say to the day school. Why? It's a more normal setting. Children from different Jewish backgrounds. It's a broader exposure. So Yaakov's taking something to think about. Stam, I think it's a fascinating question. That's the entire article. Dr. Fried has an article about that. How much schools should be set up? How much, when you guys are leaders of communities, this question will come up. How much should schools be set up, Dafka, for the elite? Well, let's have a school for the top. Let's have a school that has a mixture of different kinds of kids. Great YouTube video of Steinman, if I can note that. It's a good fun video if you like watching YouTube videos of rebellion. If not, I understand why, but if yes, it's interesting. Yaakov says that's where he sent his kids. What I find fascinating is the following. Here's a famous word from Yaakov Kamenetsky. We'll end with this, and then we'll end with, I guess, this, and then two mises. Yaakov and Shmos has a well-known word. Rashi tells us in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was a baby, so they brought in front of Moshe Rabbeinu different women for Moshe to nurse from. And he wouldn't nurse from any of the non-Jews. He only nursed from, finally, when his mother came, he only nursed from a Jew. Why wouldn't he nurse from the non-Jews? Says Rashi, because Pesha Asa Dadabra Mashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu was a mouth that was going to speak. Pal Pal with Jew bonus only. A mouth like that couldn't nurse from a non-Jew. Comes along the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah Paskins, Halakha and Maisa. If you have a choice, you should avoid having a non-Jew nurse your child. Says the Bir Hagra, what's the source for this halacha? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe didn't do it, so we shouldn't do it. Ask Rabbi Yaakov a fascinating question. I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu, I get. Pesha Asid, Lidaber Im Hashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to speak Pe'el Pe'el with Ribono Sha'olam. Why are we paskening a halacha on Shulchan Aruch relevant to every single Jew in Klal Yisrael? Based on something which emerged dafka from Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rabbi Yaakov the following idea. Umavur Mizet, source number 14, Lima Gadol Be'inyan HaChinach, Shetzarech Ha'av Litein Lebana. I'll tell you an unbelievable yisod about Chinach, says Rabbi Yaakov. V'hayu Shachol Yelad Katan Yesikoy Lidaber Im HaShchina. Every single kid has the capacity to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, to be someone who is Lidaber Im HaShchina, to have a conversation with your Ribono Shel Olam. So every single element of the chinuch has to be built towards the fact that I have the capacity. A, the beautiful idea. B, the same of Yaakov in number 13. Same of Yaakov. I understand. It's fascinating. The same of Yaakov who said chinuch has to be in such a high madrega. Didn't say, send them to the school where it's only people like him. Just be alone in there. Bianca's very comfortable saying, I'll send my kids to the day school. It's a little bit more normal setting. That's not a steer to godless. It's not a steer to godless. Like Rav Schwab, unlike Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler maintained, you want to have Gedolim, it's pure Torah. Rav Schwab, and here, if you put the two Rav Yaakovs together, it's not true. There are other ways to attain godless. There are other tracks to godless. There are other ways I can ensure I'm being great, not only by being isolated and just, you know, away a little bit. Let's chazer and with two quick maisos. 7:15 is ends, right? Yeah, is that right? I want to like awkward, like actually end 6:45. One of those moments. So I'll say this, I'm not going past 7:15, despite my rambling right now. So we're done then. Let's chazer and with two maisos. We saw the Rambam said you can be tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. We saw a couple formulations, every person has the capacity to be a gadol. We went through some of the discussions. We saw different sources back and forth. To what extent is a person misugal, the way back and then says it, ain't of a misugal, last of the Torah b'shleim, some people maybe aren't destined to that. A person can learn for 5 years like they come on school, and maybe they won't make it that much. It is what it is. On the other hand, we saw Chaim Kanievsky, a beautiful line, this is the dominant approach. Based on the Tanit Beil Yo. No, everyone has the capacity to do it, but the interesting connection with Chaim Kanievsky, you also have to daven for it. It's good to daven also. It reflects a certain method of she'ifas. Number two, we spoke about how school systems should be set up. We saw a fascinating discussion between Rav Dessler and the anonymous letter written by Rav Schwab, all about, is it, Rav Dessler, it's a one or the other, the masses or the yachid, something to think about. Number two, well, is that really so true? Maybe the gedolim can be produced dafka when they're with the masses. That's something to think about also, if you want something to... Would you rather a gadol that was produced after being with the masses, or a gadol that was produced by being separate and away from the rest of Klal Yisrael? That's a question to think about. It's a question to think about. I know where I am on that, but no one asked. We saw a similar debate with Kamenetsky. The standard is high, pesha, asal, dab, mashchina, but still, you can be with others. It doesn't require running away. Two quick things. Number one, a member of Avidan, Shlita, the older Shiva of Shalvim, once saying that when he was learning in Chevron, in Yerushalayim, there was one guy sitting on the side that was not the brightest, and he said, they used to all like, I remember, I think he said in this room, he said, they all used to like, some of the guys used to like make fun of him a little bit, that like he wasn't that bright, and he was just like, all the bright guys, and he was like trying really hard, and they were like, Chaval, he's trying so hard. And like, you know, Rabbi Dan said, Hayom, Ein Primagadim B'Shulchan Aruch Shulo Yodeya Bal Peh. He said, right now, he's better than all of us. He's the people, a person who works really hard, they can attain a very high madrig. A person who works very hard can attain a very high level. A lot of that has to do with just really being able to work a little bit, to dab for it, and to drive. We'll end with one quick maisa, and that is the following. Rabbi Riskin, who's the chief rabbi of Efrat, was relatively close to the Panovich Rav. Panovich Rav was a person who came after Europe, and he built the Panovich Yeshiva and a lot of other institutions. He was behind the founding of this one, actually. Here. Interested? Panovich Rav, one of the real great giants. Panovich Rav was in New York. He was in the hospital. He was very, very ill. Right, Riskin went to visit the Panovich Rav, and he saw the Panovich Rav was a little bit down. He wasn't feeling that. He looked like he was just like he was depressed, looking a little bit down. So Riskin said to him to try and cheer him up a little bit. He said, Rebbe, I assume that, you know, you probably have so much to be happy about, because most people dream and they only get to fulfill like 10% of their dreams, but you built so many Torah institutions, so much success in Torah and Chesed. I assume you were zochet to fulfill like at least 90% of your dreams. I assume you were zochet to fulfill so much of what you set out to accomplish. And the Panovich Rav said to Rabbi Riskin, he said, no. I was also only zochet to fulfill 10% of my dreams. The difference is that I dreamed for greater things. I had very large dreams. I had very big dreams. And where we set the bar often impacts where we can go. Where we set the bar, what level I want to attain, often impacts a whole lot. We used to be Zocha over the years to get to know each other. Those I don't know, I learned in the back corner. Feel free to come whenever you'd like. But we should be Zocha over here together to grow a lot together and to achieve our true potential. Have a fantastic day.